The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kesser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rosenfeld.
Ruchim Havoyim, we're going to be learning the halachas of brachos, the simon about the bracha Rishona on brachos. The Kitzer calls this klolim b'bracha Rishona mibirkas hanenin. These are the rules about the bracha made before a food when one is about to enjoy that food. Let's read the Kitzer halacha aleph. Ksiv l'Hashem ha'aretz u'mlo'a. The pasuk says in Tehillim that the entire world belongs to Hashem. Shakol hu kmo hektish. Everything is similar to hektish, the property of the Beis Hamikdash. The entire world is considered to be the belonging of Hashem. Ukemosha also the hanes mina hektish ad la'achar hapidyon. Just like it is forbidden to get any enjoyment from the property of Hektish, the property of the Beis HaMikdash, until it's redeemed, until a person redeems it from being the property of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hanene min ha-Hektish b'lo pidyon va'al. Someone who benefits from Hektish, from property of the Beis HaMikdash, without redeeming it, has done mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is the halachic term for someone who improperly uses the property of the Beis HaMikdash. So similar to one who uses the property of the Beis HaMikdash without permission, kmo kein osir lehanes min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Similarly, one who benefits from this world without a bracha has taken something which is not his, and therefore it's forbidden to be nehene, to enjoy enjoyments of this world without a bracha. The bracha is similar to redeeming. The same way by property of the Beis HaMikdash, one makes it his, that he can actually use it, is by redeeming it with money. Similarly, by the hanos, the pleasures of this world, the way to, so to speak, redeem it and make it that he has now the ability to use the enjoyment from this world is the bracha. The hanene below bracha, he who has benefit from the world without a bracha, kilo mo'al b'kodshei Hashem yisbarach shemo. It's similar as if he would have had improper use of the property of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a certain parallel here between using the property of the Beis HaMikdash improperly and using this world improperly. Just like by using the property of the Beis HaMikdash, one has to redeem it. So the bracha is the so-called redemption to be able to use the hanos, the enjoyments of this world. Vein shiur lebracha rishona. There is no amount that a person has to eat to make the bracha beforehand. Shafilo ochel oshosa kol shehu. Even if he eats or drinks a small amount, chayiv levarich bracha rishona. He's obligated to make the bracha beforehand, as opposed to the bracha after eating, which has certain shiurim, certain sizes that we will be discussing later in the halachas of brachas, but the bracha made before eating has no shiur. There's no amount that a person has to eat, even a small amount of food or drink, one would make a bracha beforehand on that food. Let's see halacha beis. Af al pi shebidyeved, even though that after the fact, if he already made the bracha, if a person would have mistakenly made the bracha shehakol on any food, afilo al pas o yayin yotza, even if he made the bracha of shehakol on bread or on wine, he is yotza, meaning on any food, even though there's many types of brachos that we will be discussing here, hamotzi, hagafen, mizonos, ha'etz, ha'adama. But if any of these foods, if he made shehakol on the food, he would be yotze b'di'evid. After the fact, he would be yotze with the bracha of shehakol. L'chatchila osur la'asaskin. But still, l'chatchila, if a person is asking what should he do, it is forbidden to rely on the fact that Shehakol would exempt any food from its bracha, and he must learn what the proper bracha to make. He must learn and understand what's the proper bracha to make on each type of food. He must become familiar with the different types of food and determine what bracha is appropriate for that type of food specifically. Let's say there's something that it's impossible to clarify what type of food it is. What does that mean? Because it explains shnistapku ha-poskim, that the poskim, those who decide halacha, are unsure. They're unsure what bracha is proper. V'yevshel l'hachriya, and it's impossible to come to a decision. There's a machlokas, there's a difference of opinion, and we can't decide among the difference of opinion what the proper bracha is. Az yotzin bebirkas shehakol. In such a case where one studied the halacha, he determined that the halacha is ambiguous, then because it's not clear what bracha to make, he may make a shehakol, since the halacha itself is ambiguous after looking through the different opinions and there's no clear decision about this halachic situation. And if it's something that he could exempt it in the suda, if it's something which the halacha is ambiguous, what bracha is to make, and you could eat it in the middle of a meal, that would be also a more appropriate course of action. So therefore we're saying in this halacha that shehakol would exempt any food b'diavad once the bracha was made. But l'chatchila, if he's asking what bracha should he make, he must learn the proper bracha and say the bracha which is specific to this food. It's only after learning the halacha, and the halacha itself is ambiguous, then he would have the right to make a shehakol on the food in question. Let's see halacha gimel. Hadavar shemavarchan olav, the food item that we make the bracha on. La'achlo, whether it's eating it, or l'shtoso, or it's drinking it, or l'hariachpo, or it's smelling it, or it's to do a mitzvah, meaning the Kitzur is enumerating here different types of brachos. There's brachos on eating, brachos on smelling, brachos on doing a mitzvah. Tzorach sheikach oso kodem ha-bracha biyad yemino. He must take it before the bracha in his right hand. So there is a chashivas, it shows importance to the bracha by holding it in his right hand, not just relying on the fact that the food is in front of him, but actually holding it in his hand when he's ready to make the bracha. V'yachavin eza bracha hu tzorach levarech olav. He should have in his mind what bracha does he need to make, meaning as opposed to starting the bracha and then figuring it out before he finishes the bracha, how should he do the chasima, how should he do the end of the bracha. Rather, before he starts the bracha, he should determine what bracha is proper. Kidei in order that when he mentions the name of Hashem, which is the main part of the bracha, he should know what bracha he should finish. Meaning, when a person starts the bracha, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, when he says the word Hashem, he must know then what bracha he is making. He should not wait till later in the bracha, after Melech Olam. Rather, when he says the name of Hashem, he should know what bracha he is making. The Kitzur continues, V'imlo achzol klal, if he did not take hold of the food at all, Ela shehayu lefanav kishibriach olav, rather the food was in front of him when he made the bracha, Yotza, he is Yotza, he exempts his obligation to make the bracha if the food was in front of him, even though he wasn't actually holding it. Aval imlo hayu lefanav klal kishibriach, however, if the food was not in front of him at all when he made the bracha, ela shehaviu lo achakach, but they brought the food afterwards to him, and it was not in front of him when he made the bracha. Af al pi shevishas habracha hayisadato alav, even though at the time of the bracha he had das, he had intention to be eating from that food, lo yotza, he is not yotza, he does not exempt his obligation on the bracha. But tzarach levarach shenis, he must make the bracha again. But what the kitzur is saying over here is that if the person did not have the food in front of him when he made the bracha, the fact that it was brought to him afterwards will not exempt him from the bracha. The food has to actually be in front of him. The Mishnah Berurah qualifies this halacha somewhat. The Mishnah Berurah says like this, that which the halacha is, if the food was not in front of him when he made the bracha, he's not yotzei. That's only if there's a possibility that he will not be able to obtain it. He's relying on someone else giving him the food. However, if the food is his and he's able to obtain it himself, it's just a question of walking over to the room and taking the food, then the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that he would actually be yotzei after the fact. He should not lechatchila make the bracha on the food until it's actually both in front of him and lechatchila. Ideally, he should actually be holding it. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if it was in his ability to obtain the food, then he would be yotzei b'diavad after the fact. But lechatchila, always he should have the food in front of him and he's actually holding it in his hand. In terms of this halacha the Kitzur mentioned about holding the bracha in your hand, so the halacha is by a regular person, he holds it in his right hand. The question arises, what if a person is a lefty? If a person is left-handed, what bracha does he hold the food in? The post can talk about it, in the halacha they discuss this question. It seems the predominant opinion in halacha is that for a lefty, a person whose stronger hand is a left hand, he should hold it in his left hand. Because the chashivas, the importance of the bracha, is holding it in the hand which is dominant. And by a lefty, his dominant hand would be the left hand. There is an alternative opinion that would say that because there's an intrinsic importance to the right side, even a lefty should hold it in his right hand. But it seems that in halacha, this is how the Mishnah Berurah brings down the halacha, that a lefty should hold it with his left hand because that would be the stronger hand. Let's see halacha dalid. Noto biyado pri la'achlo, one who took a fruit in his hand to eat it, ubirach olav, and he made a bracha on the fruit. V'nafal miyado v'nevad onimas, and it fell out of his hand, and he lost it. It was lost, or it was nimas. It was something that he was uncomfortable eating. It was unsightly or some other reason why he was not comfortable eating with it. Achin aroy l'achila, until the point that it's not edible. There's some reason why he can't eat it. It got dirty or he lost it and now he's not able to eat it. V'chein in birech alkos mashke v'nishpech alkos, and similarly, if he made a bracha on a beverage, and then the beverage got poured out, so therefore he cannot eat that which he originally made the bracha on. In yesh lefan of od min zeh, if he has more of this type of food, if there's, let's say he made a bracha on an apple, the apple he made the bracha on fell out of his hand, and now it was mius, it was somewhat disgusting to him, but he has other apples to eat. The gamdaito if both he has more of that food, and he intended originally to eat more food. He intended originally he would, after the first apples, he would eat other apples. The imkain haisa bracha gamal anishar, and therefore the bracha was also on the remaining food. The einot tsarich levarachinus, he does not need to make the bracha on the remaining food, he does not need to make a second bracha. The kitzur is saying like this. If a person made a bracha on a specific food, it fell out of his hand or it became disgusting to him that he wasn't able to eat it. If both he has more of that type of food, or the food that he made the bracha on, even let's say it's apples and oranges, he made the bracha on the apple, he lost the apple and he has an orange. But if he has more of the type of food that fits the bracha that he made, so he needs to have more, and he had intention to eat more, specific intention to eat more than what was in his hand. He does not need to make a new bracha. Aval bistam, but in the case of stam means he did not have specific intention one way or another to eat more fruits. L'chola habracha rak al mashahayu biyado. The bracha is not chal, the bracha does not, so to speak, take effect on anything but what was in his hand. It is necessary to make a bracha again. What the Kitzur is saying over here is that even if a person has more food, if he didn't have a specific intention to eat the other food, he must make a new bracha. In order not to necessitate a new bracha, he both has to have more food, and that he had specific intention to eat more of that type of food that he made the bracha on, or the food that would fit the bracha that he made. The Mishnah Berurah does argue on this point. The Mishnah Berurah brings down opinions that even if he didn't have specific intention to eat the other fruits, but as long as they were in front of him and they were available and he was aware of the possibility of eating them, then even though he didn't have specific intention to eat them, he would not need to make a new bracha. Let's continue in the Kitzur. Similarly, even if the person had intention to eat more, but it wasn't in front of him at the time of the bracha, and was brought to him now, he must make a second bracha. What the Kitzur is saying is like this. The Kitzur is learning, and the Kitzur is of the opinion, that a person needs two conditions to not need a new bracha if he dropped the food that he made the bracha on. First of all, he needs that he has more, and second of all, he had specific intention to eat more. So therefore, if he didn't have specific intention to eat more, even if it was in front of him, he would need to make a new bracha. Also, even if he had specific intention to eat more, but if it wasn't in front of him, then also he would need to make a new bracha. Afilu, the Kitzur continues, Afilu be'inyin sh'im haya ochal o'shose es harishon l'hoya tzarech l'varech al zeh shuvalo. Even if it's such a circumstance that had he eaten the first food that was in his hand, he would not need to make a bracha on what was brought to him. Meaning, even in a situation where he took, an apple, and the other apples were not in front of him, or the other oranges were not in front of him, had he eaten the apple that was in his hand, that would exempt the other foods that were not in front of him. Even though the halacha is that he could exempt with the food in his hand the other foods that are not in front of him, Hachashani, in this case it is different. What the Kitzur means is that if a person took a food in his hand and the bracha was chal, the bracha, so to speak, took effect with what he took in his hand, that can exempt the other food that's not in front of him. But if the food that he took in his hand fell from his hand, it became lost or disgusting, and he's not able to eat it, then the food that was not in front of him does not become exempted, because the food that he made the bracha on was not able to be eaten, and therefore he cannot exempt the food which is not in front of him. And this second halacha also the Mishnah Berurah argues. Mishnah Berurah says that if he had specific intention to eat other food, even though it wasn't in front of him, there are opinions that he would exempt that food if he had intention to eat the other food. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion he would not need to make a new bracha. So to summarize, we have a difference of opinion here at this halacha. According to the Kitzur, anytime a person took food in his hand to eat and he dropped it, and for some reason he cannot eat the food that he took in his hand, he needs to meet two conditions to exempt other food. He needs that he has some of the other food in front of him, and he had specific intention to eat the other food. If he's lacking one of those two conditions, either the food was not in front of him or he didn't have specific intention, he would need to make a new bracha on the other food. As opposed to the opinion of the Kitzur, the Mishnah Berurah would say that as long as the food was either in front of him, even without specific intention, or if he had specific intention, even though it was not in front of him, he would not need to make a new bracha. So that's the difference of opinion in this halacha. Let's see halacha hey. Tzorach shelo yafsik, it is necessary that he should not interrupt, he should not have a break, Yoser Mechidei Dibor, more than the amount of time of a Kidei Dibor, which we'll explain in a second, Ben HaBrocha L'Achila, between the bracha that he makes and the eating of the food. He should try to make immediately after the bracha that he eats the food. He should not have a hefsek, an interruption of a Kidei Dibor. Kidei Dibor means the amount of time it would take for a person to greet his Rebbe, his teacher, to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, to say, to give his Rebbe a Shalom Aleichem, to say welcome, my teacher. So the amount of time it takes to say the word Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, let's say, give that the amount of time of a second or between a second or 2 seconds. He should try lechatchila. Ideally, he should try to make that he does not wait that amount of time between the bracha and the eating. The kitzur continues. Vafilu b'shas le'isa. Even at the time that he was chewing, he's in the middle of chewing the food. Also lahafsik ad sheyivla. It is forbidden to be mafsik, to make an interruption between the bracha and the eating until he actually swallows the food. Kitzur explains, Toha al hale'isa in a tzarech bracha. When he chews the food, that does not require a bracha. Just chewing the food does not require the bracha. It's the swallowing of the food which requires the bracha. Therefore, he may not interrupt between the bracha and the eating until he actually swallows and not just he's chewing the food. On this point, the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion. And the conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah is that b'diavad, if a person didn't make the interruption, then as long as when he was chewing he started tasting the food, then we will say after the fact he did not need to make a new bracha. So ideally, both Mishnah Berurah and the Kitzur would agree he should actually swallow the food before he interrupts to say something or some other interruption. But at least according to the Mishnah Berurah, if he started tasting the food from the time of the chewing, then he would not need to make a new bracha. The Kitzur continues, v'mhivsik b'dibor, if he interrupted with actually saying something, b'n ha'bracha la'achila, between the bracha and the eating of the food, shalom me'inin ha'achila, that it was not necessary for the eating, as opposed to, let's say, a person was eating, Gemara gives the example, a person is eating bread, and he says, please bring me salt, I should be able to eat the bread. That would not be considered to be a hefsik interruption. But if a person said something that was not necessary for his eating, he said some other, even a single word that was not necessary for the food that he was eating, and that was between the bracha and when he ate, tzorech lachzor levarech, he must make a new bracha anytime he speaks between the bracha and the eating of the food, and it wasn't necessary to say what he said, it wasn't relevant to the eating, he must make a new bracha. However, if he was shohev, if he was waiting quietly, he did not need to make a new bracha. Even though there was some span of time, a significant span of time between the bracha and the eating of the food, if he didn't actually say anything, if he didn't engage in any conversation, or if he didn't say any words, then he would not need to make a new bracha. The Kitzur continues. If he's waiting for the sake of the eating, that is not at all to be considered an interruption. If the reason why the person is waiting is because that is necessary in order for him to eat, that would not be considered a hefsek, that would not be considered an interruption. A good example of this would be at a Shabbos meal. The Baal HaBayis, the head of the household, makes the bracha of the hamotzi on the challah. And then he starts cutting it up. So it could take some time between he cuts up all the slices and passes it around to all the people at the table. So that's all considered a shehiyah. It's considered waiting, letzorach ha'achila, for the sake of eating, until he passes around the challah to all the people at the table. That's a shehiyah, letzorach ha'achila. That's considered to be waiting for the sake of eating. So anytime the person is waiting in order to eat, is necessary for the meal, that is not considered to be a hafsik. That's not considered an interruption. The Kitzur continues, v'lachein, and therefore, kishirotza lechol pri gadol, if a person wants to eat a big pri, v'lachtach mimenu chatichos, he wants to eat a big fruit, and he has to cut it into pieces, and he's not able just to take a bite out of it, it's very big, he has to cut it up. So what should he do? Should he make a bracha on it and then cut it up? Or should he cut it up beforehand and then make a bracha on the cut up pieces? So the Kitzur says, Yivarach kisha pri shalim. He should make a bracha when the fruit is whole, before he cuts up the fruit. Mishin de mitzvah levarach ala shalim. It's the best thing to do. The mitzvah is that ideally he should make a bracha on a whole fruit. It's more ideal halachically to make a bracha on a whole fruit than on a cut up fruit. That which he's waiting takes time to cut up the fruit, that is not considered a hefzik, it's not considered to be an interruption. Mishum shehu l'tzorach ha'achila, because that's for the sake of eating. When a person is cutting up the fruit is considered a tzorach ha'achila, it's necessary for eating the fruit. It's not considered a hefzik, it's not considered an interruption, because halachically it's better to make a bracha on a whole fruit, he should make a bracha on the whole fruit and cut it up. It's not considered to be an halachic interruption. The Kitzur continues. Ach kisherotzo lechol eze pri. However, if he wants to eat a certain type of a fruit, ve'en lo yoseh, he has no other fruits except for the one that's in front of him. He only has one fruit, and he has a concern about that fruit. V'yesh lochosh shema prizu mitula'as. Maybe this fruit is wormy. Maybe this one is not possible to be eaten. Let's say he has a fruit in front of him, he's not sure it's edible. He doesn't have a fruit which is for sure edible. The only fruit he has is, he's not sure if it's edible or not. He would have to open it up before he eats it. He should open up the fruit and check it before he makes the bracha, meaning if the person knows he'll be able to eat this fruit, he should make the bracha when the fruit is whole, cut it up. Cutting up is not considered to be a hefzik, not considered to be an interruption. However, if he's not sure the fruit is edible, it's possible he's not able at all to make a bracha on this fruit. Therefore, he should open up the fruit beforehand to make sure that it's edible. He'll check the fruit, see it's edible, and then he can make the bracha on the cut up fruit, because at least now he has verified that he's able to eat this fruit. Let's see halacha vav. Hashosemayim, someone who's drinking water, v'shofich ma'ad kodem shitiyaso, and he's pouring out a little bit of the water before he drinks it, mishim chashash mayim haroim, because of a concern about mayim haroim, we'll explain that in a second. Yishpoch kodem shiyaso levarach, he should pour out the water before he starts making the bracha, v'lo achar bracha, but not after the bracha, mishum b'zayin ha'bracha, because it's a disrespect to the bracha. Let's explain what the Kitzur is saying over here. The concept of mayim haroim is brought down in the Gemara in Chulin, and daf kuf hei on the beis. The Gemara says there's a supernatural concern about water, that maybe there is a spiritual tainting on it. Maybe it was tainted by some sort of ruach ra'ah, some sort of spiritual contamination. And there was a concept of pouring out some of that water from the pitcher that he's drinking it from before drinking it to remove that spiritual concern of a possible spiritual contamination. This is a concept brought down in the Gemara. So someone who has this practice that he's concerned about the spiritual contamination and he wants to pour out the water before he drinks it. So he should not make the bracha and then pour it out, because it shows disrespect for the bracha that he's removing that water before he drinks. It shows that after the bracha he's doing something which is to remove something wrong with the food. He should remove the sort of impurity on the food before he makes the bracha. That way now the food is ready. He's removed it from his spiritual impurity. And now when he makes the bracha, the food is ready to that he now can drink it. He should not make the bracha when the food is not ready, so to speak, spiritually. He should prepare it by pouring out the water first, and then he would make the bracha on that drink. Thank you.